He was reloading the gun as he came, dropping the old magazine, slapping a new one in. I lifted my shield bracelet, readying it, then hesitated for a fraction of a second to get the timing just right, gauging angles of incidence and refraction. Vito's hand came up and the gun snarled again. I brought the shield up at the last second, a flat plane perpendicular to the floor, and Ramirez took a hopping step back just in time to get behind the shield as it formed. 20 or 30 bullets ricocheted off the invisible barrier in a shower of sparks, and sprawled more or less toward Madrigal Wraith and his magical protection. The nifty armbands apparently weren't made to stop physical projectiles, because one of the bouncing bullets ripped through the outside of his thigh with an ugly explosion of torn cloth and a misty burst of pale blood. He screamed and faltered, throwing out one hand to catch his balance before he could hit the floor.
"Drop it!"
Ramirez shouted. His hand blurred toward his pistol, and he drew it before Madrigal could get moving again. I pivoted the shield to clear Ramirez, taking a couple of steps forward to wall Vito away from Carlos's flank, and transmuted the far surface of the shield into a reflective mirror. Ramirez's gun began to roar beside me, measured shots that were actually aimed, as opposed to the rapid crack, crack, crack of panic fire. Vito reacted to the gunfire and the suddenly appearing mirrored wall 10 feet long and 8 feet high with instant violence. He flung the heavy handgun at a suddenly appearing and swift-moving target before he could realize that it was his own reflection. The gun had its slide locked open, and when it hit the shield, at the speed he threw it, something in the assembly slipped, and it bounced off in several pieces. Vito slowed down for a step, eyes widening, and I didn't blame him one bit. It would have made me blink for a second if my opponent had suddenly changed open air into the back wall of a dance studio. Then he accelerated again and did something I wasn't ready for. He bounded straight up into the air, a good 10 or 12 feet, arching over the top of my shield in an instant and flinging knives with each hand as he came. I threw up my right arm, trying to interpose it with the oncoming knife as far out from my body as I could. The knife hit flat, which was fine, where the leather of my duster's sleeve covered my arm. The handle of the knife, though, hit my naked wrist, and my right hand abruptly went numb. I heard the other knife whisper as it tumbled through the air beside me, missing me.
"Madre de Dios!"
Carlos screamed. The blasting rod tumbled from my useless fingers. I cursed and flung myself to one side as Vito landed on the inside of my shield, his sword whipping from its scabbard in a horizontal slash at my throat. My tactical thinking had been limited to two dimensions, maybe reinforced by the mockery of the sports field we fought on. The second knife had missed me because Vito hadn't been aiming for me. Its handle now protruded from Ramirez's right calf. I couldn't move my fingers correctly, which precluded the use of the energy rings on my right hand. I dropped the shield. All it would do, with him already so close, was slow down my movement. I'd have to reform it between me and him the second I got a chance, which he didn't seem inclined to give me. He sent a lightning-quick thrust at my guts, and I had to dance back a pair of steps to buy myself enough time to parry it with a sweep of the staff in my left hand. There was no way I could fence with Vito. Even if he didn't totally outclass me physically, fighting one-armed with a staff against a competent fighter with a rapier is not a winning proposition. If I tried it, I'd be backing away from him in circles until I tripped, he slashed a few of my fingers off and finished me, or else forced me away from Ramirez long enough to double-team him and kill him. I couldn't sling magic at him either. His back was to the crowd of vampires and the human victims shielding them, and he was damned fast. Anything I could throw that would have hurt him could miss, and if it missed, it'd kill anyone who got in the way. I couldn't take my eyes off Vito for a second. I had to hope that Ramirez was holding his own against Madrigal. I had to buy time and distance. I slammed Will and Hellfire through my staff, snarled,
"Fozari!"
and released it in a broad wave that lashed out into absolutely everything in front of me. The wave of force caught Vito and flung him from his feet. He hit a brawny thrall with a neatly clipped goatee, and then the wave caught up and struck the man too, as well as the folk on either side of him. They were flung back into the second row of kneeling thralls, and they, in turn, were all bowled back into the crowd of vampires behind them, to a general scream of surprise and dismay. It hadn't been a lot of force by the time it got to the thralls, not all spread out like that. I could have delivered tackles that hit harder. It had been enough, though, to tangle Vito, whose leg was still on fire, by the way, in a pile of courtiers and thralls.
"Welcome, ladies and gentlemen," I hollered, "to Bowling for Vampires."
To my intense discomfort, a round of laughs went up from the Wraith contingent, and I got a smattering of applause. I raised my shield again into a shimmering half-dome of glittering silver and blue light this time, and twisted my head around to look for Ramirez. I turned in time to see Madrigal, bleeding from several gunshot wounds, rush forward, spear held high. Ramirez had fallen to one knee, his wounded leg unable to support his weight, and as I watched, he dropped the Desert Eagle and gathered another bolt of disintegrating emerald force in his right hand. Madrigal laughed at him, the sound silvery and scornful, and now that he was in motion, I could see the chromium glitter of the demonic hunger in his eyes. His protective armbands flickered brightly as he rushed forward.
"Ramirez!"
I screamed. Madrigal raised the spear. Ramirez flung the gathered energy in a last, useless strike that missed Madrigal entirely and splashed on the stone at his feet. A section of stone the size of a big bathtub glowed green for a split second, then shattered into dust so fine that its individual grains would be almost invisible to the naked eye.